It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some big changes to federal student loans are set to take effect July 1st, raising questions about how that will impact the hundreds of thousands of student loan borrowers in Wisconsin.
The changes come from the federal reconciliation bill passed last summer. Some existing repayment plans will go away or change, and borrowers will have some new options as well.
Wisconsin has more than 700,000 student loan borrowers. As of March, nearly 1 in 5 were enrolled in the SAVE plan, one of the plans that's going to sunset at the end of the month.
What should borrowers in Wisconsin do ahead of these changes? Betsy Mayotte is with us for a look. She's president and founder of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors, also known as TISLA. She's been working in the student loan industry doing compliance and advocacy work for over 25 years. Betsy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go into the details, supporters of these changes and President Trump's Department of Education has said, hey, these changes are going to simplify student loan repayments, lower the cost of college. Do you see things getting, once we get through this next month, simpler and more affordable?
I think things are going to be more complicated in the short term, but at least as far as repayment plans go, they will be less complicated in the long term.
For people listening who have student loans, these changes take effect July 1st. What should people be doing right now?
Well, it depends where you're at. If you're in the how am I going to pay for college phase, you really need to educate yourself on the new loan limits because they're much smaller, and make sure that you're calculating how you're going to pay for your full degree, not just worry about this year, and worry about next year. Families really need to project how they're going to pay for the full degree, all 4 or 5 or 6 years. For those borrowers that are currently in repayment, you mentioned all the residents of Wisconsin who are on the SAVE plan. They need to start looking at the repayment plans that are going to be available to them and that will best fit in their not only short-term budget, but long-term student loan management strategy.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt told us in March that around 135,000 Wisconsin borrowers were on that SAVE plan. What is that going to mean for that over 100,000 people? They have the SAVE plan. What are changes going to mean for them?
So borrowers that are on the SAVE plan have been what some of us are calling the SAVE limbo. Some people are calling it the SAVE malaise. But they've sort of been in pause for almost 2 years now. Starting on July 1st, these borrowers are going to start getting notices. And when they get that notice, there'll be a 90-day window where they will have to pick a new plan. And if they don't pick a plan, by the time their particular 90-day window is up, they will automatically be put in what's called a standard or level repayment plan. And that's often a lot more expensive monthly than a plan based on income might be.
What are their options apart from that plan if they don't want that that big jump in their monthly fees?
So it depends. So if they're done borrowing, so as long as they don't borrow a new loan or have a consolidation go through after June 30th, they'll have options such as income-based repayment, which is another plan based on income, income contingent repayment. There's also plans that aren't based on income, such as an interest-only plan called graduated repayment or extended repayment. They'll also be able to use a new plan called the RAP, the Repayment Assistance Plan, that'll be available somewhere around July 1st. But for anybody who consolidates or borrows on or after July 1st, their only choices will be that new RAP plan or a standard plan that's based on the balance of their loan.
Now, the Parent PLUS loans aren't going away, but there are some changes, including some restrictions. You mentioned parents having to evaluate that full length of college now. What changes there and how can families adapt to that?
Oh, boy. That budget bill really smacked around our Parent PLUS borrowers, unfortunately. So on the borrowing side of it, Parent PLUS borrowing used to be unrestricted in the fact that there was no limit on how much you could borrow other than the cost of attendance for the undergraduate's school. Now there's a pretty hard limit. They can't borrow more than $20,000 a year per dependent undergraduate student and no more than $65,000 total for each dependent undergraduate student. So this is, again, why I started out by saying it's important that they plan out the full degree program, not just on an annual basis. On the other side of the coin, it used to be that Parent PLUS borrowers, they had to jump through some hoops, but they had access to these plans based on income. And for any parents that haven't consolidated already, or don't have one in progress, and or who borrow again on or after July 1st, they will have no options for repayment plans. They'll have a standard plan, and that's it.
We're talking about some upcoming changes to federal student loans and how they'll impact some Wisconsin borrowers. Betsy Mayotte is with us, president and founder of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors, also known as TISLA. You looked up some Wisconsin-specific information. I understand, Betsy, looking at people who were delinquent on their loans or behind on their loans. What do you see here in Wisconsin?
So just across the country, I'm sorry to say that we are, in my opinion, a delinquency and default crisis. It was, you know, mentioned in my intro that I have been working in this industry since the earth cooled. And this is honestly one of the biggest jumps and most worrisome periods in student loan history that I've seen in my career. From a national perspective, an additional over 3 million people defaulted on their loans in the last quarter of 2025. And to put that in perspective, prior to COVID, there was a total of around 3 or 4 million borrowers in default. So we almost doubled that number in the last quarter of 2025. From a Wisconsin perspective, you mentioned there's a little over 700,000 Wisconsin borrowers holding federal student loans. Almost 20% of those, or 125,000, are currently in default. And then if you look at, so the Department of Ed has started putting out a new piece of data that they're calling the non-repayment rate. The non-repayment rate is, they're only looking at people who recently left school. So people that have left school since January of 2020. And consider that those people, they weren't required to make payments during COVID. So they've only really been in repayment a couple of years. At the national level, between 20 and 25% of them are at least 90 days past due or are on the, and on their way to default. Wisconsin's doing a little bit better than the rest of the country, but you still have like half your schools that at least 10 or 20 or even a higher percentage of their students are 90, recent grads are 90 days or more past due.
What's driving, Betsy, this crisis? Is it confusion because a lot of loans were a stop and start, don't pay, do pay for a while? Or is it something economic? What do you see driving that big jump in default and being behind on payments?
Oh, Rob, it's a perfect storm. It's all the things that you just said. So, you know, first, you know, we took people that were in the habit of making payments out of that habit for over 3 years during COVID. Now, it was the right thing to do at the time, but that was always going to be the fallback. And then in the meantime, we created a new repayment plan and then went, oh, never mind. It got shut down by the courts. And then we changed a whole bunch of other rules in ways that we've never seen rules change. Congress has never taken some of the steps that they took under H.R. 1 before. And then everything else got more expensive. Gasoline, fruit. I just read a statistic that produce is like gone up like 44% in the last few months. Healthcare costs. All of that has happened all at once. And I think all of those things is what's driving this increased delinquency and default rate. And like you said, borrowers are just confused. Another phenomenon I'm seeing that I haven't seen to this extreme are the emotions that we're getting from the borrowers that reach out to TISLA for help. The word anxiety is a very common word used in the emails that we get. People just don't know what to do. Like if I, my lowest payment will mean I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. And I am seeing this in much higher levels than I ever have before.
And what do you tell that person facing that anxiety, looking at these changes, knowing they're behind? How can they tackle this problem?
Well, you know, for people that owe high debts, I use that old expression. How does one eat an elephant one bite at a time? What I find is helpful to the majority of the borrowers we work with is just being able to educating themselves on what their options are, using the online tools and calculators like what's on our website and the Department of Ed's website, which is studentaid.gov, to understand what your options are, what they're going to cost you in the short term, what they're going to cost you in the long term. Thankfully, with federal student loans, even with all the changes of H.R. 1, we have sort of an embarrassment of riches as far as options go. There's more than a handful of lower payment options. If none of those work, there's temporary postponement of payments altogether through deferments and forbearances. If life really gives you a hard left hook, there's even discharges for things like permanent disability or if the borrower should pass away, etc.
It sounds like the key is to not let that anxiety keep people from tackling this, right? A pep talk to say, hey, don't keep putting off dealing with this until July or later.
100%. And there's just debt in general, there's a lot of anxiety that consumers have. But thankfully, people can go to our website, studentaid.gov, and quietly, without having to talk to anybody, if they don't want to, they can educate themselves. And once you understand what your options are, I find that almost always that anxiety just for the most part melts away.
With all the back and forth of the courts and the legislature on this, is there still an unanswered question, some other shoe you're waiting to drop, Betsy, as we wrap up?
Oh boy. There's been talk of a, HR 1 2.0. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Congress is going to stay away from student loans for a minute. I really do. I think right now what the other shoe just might be seeing how smooth the implementation of all these rules become.
Betsy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Betsy Mayotte, president and founder of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors, also known as TISLA. We've been talking about upcoming changes to student loan repayment plans. Well, have we been talking about you and what you're dealing with right now as someone who's holding some student loan debt and trying to figure out what to do about it? As a parent or a student going into college yourself, love to hear what you are experiencing, maybe a solution you found along the way. Email us at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.